Hello, everybody, and welcome to Brew Review. I'm your host, Cody, alongside my good friend, Laz.
Hello.
How you doing, Laz?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Trying to stay cool. It's very hot out these days.
Oh, my God. It is ridiculous. You're way down south. I'm way up north, and we're both complaining about how hot it is. So,
yeah.
Thank God we're not in, was it Texas and Arizona and all those places? That's just absolutely insane. I think for us, it's more humidity than heat, so that's good at least.
I mean, I work in a warehouse, and on Friday at 6 a.m., it was like, heat advisory, stay inside. And we were all like, okay. But like, I still had to go out there and work in it for like an hour, and I came back in just drenched. I was like, we'll go sit down for a little while. And
I got to work Friday. It was 82 degrees in the warehouse. So it was just like all closed up. It was like, this is terrible.
So, yeah.
I'm in a warehouse.
Very appreciative. They bought us a big ass fan, the actual branding,
and
helped so much, because if it wasn't in there, I'm pretty sure I'd literally be dead right now.
It's good times.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
All right. Hey, what else is new? What have you been doing? It's been a little bit since we recorded.
Oh, you know, I think we played a little bit of Magic last night. That was good. Tried out some new decks lately. I guessed it on a stream.
Yes, you did.
Person Kuro, if you follow them on Twitter, played my Gandalf the Grey deck that I made, my first Spellslinger deck. Went really well. I won one of the games.
Yeah, it was a good time. I saw.
Oh, I started playing. I'm playing in a Commander League. It's a $100 random commander, and I'm playing Huge Grant, which is a Forge Neverwinter Charlatan, and I just make bad. I quoted Hugh Grant movies in my last game.
That's
so that's
awesome.
A ton of fun.
You didn't tell me that part. I can have some quotes for you. You know, we can punch up some of those little drops that you do next time.
I found Hugh Grant apparently is like most hated movie is like The Loyal Footman or something like that. He's like this is my worst movie. I don't watch it. It's not worth it. And so I was just quoting that. And then as I died, I quoted like. Poor words for a dying man, and that's how I went out.
Did anyone pick up on that, or does everyone just think you're the weird guy?
I mentioned I was going to be quoting Hugh Grant movies, and they were like, okay. Everyone was like, I haven't seen a Hugh Grant movie in a while, and I was like, neither have I. Not since D&D, so.
D&D was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't Hugh Grant in the new Willy Wonka movie?
Oh, is he?
Okay. Yeah, I think he's the Oompa Loompa.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I
that
think
is
so
weird.
Yeah, there's just like 100 little Hugh Grants in the movie.
Okay, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna watch this out of like curiosity. Because isn't like Timothy Chalamet like Wonka?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I don't trust that guy.
He was great in Dune, but I'm not sure if he's able to carry the Wonkaverse on his shoulders. You know,
that's yeah, that huge Willy Wonka lore that's going on.
There's two books, man. It's hard.
What about you, Laz? What you been up to?
Played a shit ton of Diablo. Been doing that. And then season one came out, and I haven't touched it since because, my goodness, so those developers hate that game, I guess, because they just ruined it for season one. So haven't been playing that. Been playing Street Fighter VI. Just bought Remnant 2, so I guess got to start that. Just bought a yo-yo, so I got.
Did you honestly buy? You bought a yo-yo. Yeah. You're showing me a yo-yo. That's okay.
I bought a yo-yo because you might not know this. You're a little younger, you know. But back in the day, yo-yos were all the rage in school.
I had a yo-yo.
Okay, all right.
I went to a yo-yo championship one time.
Shit. All right, maybe you can show me a thing or two.
No, I just went to watch because that dude walked 7 dogs that day.
Wow. I can walk the dog pretty good, you know? It's just
okay.
But no, my daughter had a yo-yo that she got in like some gift bag thing, and I was trying to show her how to do it. I'm like, man, this yo-yo sucks. I'm like, I used to be able to do all this cool stuff with this. And she's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, all right. Yo, Mega Stomachs. Yeah, Stomachs yo-yos, right? And it was like $14. I was like,
oh my God.
I'm buying a yo-yo. I'm doing it.
Do I buy a pack of magic cards, or do I buy a yo-yo?
Well, the thing is, you have to think what's going to attract the most ladies. You know, magic cards
You're
or
married.
Yo-yos.
By ladies, you mean your two daughters? Sure.
They were more impressed with the yo-yo skills than the Magic the Gathering skills.
That's fair.
So.
That's fair.
So, you know, just been pretty busy with that. You know, it's been a while since I worked out. So,
dear God. You watch any good movies lately?
No, I watch Youth and Revolt. That's what I watch, the Michael Cera movie.
Okay, well,
I don't watch movies, man.
You don't watch movies? Well, hey,
I
guess what?
I don't watch movies. Whoa, what'd you watch? What'd you watch?
I recently watched a little film called Cocaine Bear.
I've heard of that movie.
You have? Yeah, pretty crazy.
I have. Yeah?
Yeah. And by recently, I mean about like 5 months
about
ago.
About like 6 months ago, right?
Yeah. That was a bad segue into the deck we're talking about today.
That was such a bad... We had a better segue when we were off air talking about cocaine.
Yeah. So welcome to Brew Review, if you don't know. Once a month, we sit down and look at a deck that we've already brewed, which is opposite of what Brewed or Screwed is about, which is, hey, should we brew this deck or should we not? So this is a deck I've already brewed, and we're going to talk about it today, talk about the challenges it has, a lot of challenges. So yeah.
Should
I introduce the deck, or do you got anything
to say? Well, I'll ask you about the deck. You know, this could be a little back and forth here of me asking the questions and you answering them. You have to defend your actions because I've seen some bad decks in my day, but you know.
About an hour ago, Laz was hitting me with some like very high hostility in the text about this deck. Which, you know, some of it is fair. I will give him that. The idea was there. It just wasn't good.
All right. I will say this. There's a reason why we don't make decks just based off of funny names. And I think this is one of them. You had a funny name for a deck, and so you tried to build the deck, and it didn't really work. Because if we built decks based off of funny names, Yargle My Nuts, the Squirrel Yargle Multani deck collaboration would have been built months ago. But that didn't happen.
This
what did I try to do? Yargle Multani and try to do it with squirrel tokens and acorn counters. All right. Well, so let's talk about the deck. So what is the deck? What's the name?
So, first, a little backstory.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
So,
I jumped the gun.
You know, newer to Magic, want to try out new things. Want to do different, like, made a Spellslinger deck, really liking it. Something I've never done is build a deck with a background. And I love that D&D set. You know me, I love D&D, I love Dungeons & Dragons, love everything about it. Mm-hmm. So, I was like, well, what's cool, what's fun? I like Voltron, I like big creatures. Wilson Refined Grizzly is a fucking card. And I was like, well, I gotta pick a background. And so I, you know, saw Cultist of the Absolute and was like, one mana? Give my commander all these buffs? Make it, like, harder to kill? All because I got a sacrifice creature? This sounds like a good plan. I then saw Cocaine Bear. And while the idea of this deck was in my head, and I saw Cocaine Bear, the gears turned. And I was like, I'm going to name this deck Cocaine Bear 2, The Cult of Cocaine.
Which sounds like a campy 80s horror movie.
Right?
Like Camp
and
of Cocaine.
I love me a good campy 80s horror movie.
As you show your Jason.
Tattoo. Yeah. So this is Cocaine Bear 2, Cult of Cocaine, 100% more cocaine, 100% more bear, 100% more insane.
I would have said like 90% more cocaine.
Yeah, 90%. So
it's crazy. It's only 80% more cocaine.
The idea here is that like it's supposed to be like Voltron Aristocrats. I think I called it Aristotron. At one point,
it's a classic pairing. It's a pas de deux of Magic cards and archetypes.
The idea was like, get Wilson out there, get Cultist of the Absolute, have a token generator on the board, swing with a giant Wilson. That was the kind of original plan.
Just gonna beat everyone over the head with your giant Wilson. I got it.
Yeah, there's a sex joke in there somewhere.
I think I just made it.
Yeah. That always didn't happen, though, you know?
No, well, here's the thing. Cody.
Uh-huh.
I love me some bears. I've got a bear deck. Uh-huh. I have a Ruxa mono green bear deck, bear tribal. You want to know what card's not in my bear tribal deck? Wilson Refined Grizzly.
That is a shame.
It's not that good of a card. It's not a good card.
You were joking me.
What?
This is a Voltron Dream. Can't be countered. Vigilance, Reach, Trample, and Ward 2?
Okay, Ward 2, it's not enough to make the card sick, because at the end of the day, it's a 2-cost 2-2. Vigilance, Ranch, Trample. Can't be countered. That's fine. Don't counter my, you know, 2-cost creature. I think you're giving this card way too much credit. Vigilance, Ranch, Trample. You might as well play Rogrock, that mono red guy that costs 0.
But that's not a 2-2. And it's not a bear.
A 2-2. It's an 0-2, and it's a goblin.
It can't be a goblin. I think it's a kobold. Cocaine kobold.
It could be cocaine with a K-O. Okay. Like, you know,
Coke. Okay.
Like K-O-C-A and, you know, like cocaine. Like there's something there.
There's something there.
It'd be better than this. Because the thing is, Wilson, if you want him to be good, you would have to lean so far into the Voltron thing, which is very possible.
Yeah.
But that's not what you did. Cultist of the Absolute. I enjoy that too, because it's a +3/+3, flying, death touch, and then ward, pay 3 life. So if anyone wants to target Wilson, they're going to have to pay 3 life and pay 2 additional mana. So combined, yes, that is better. But then with this deck, you didn't go that heavy into the equipment. You got 1, 2, 3. You have 5 pieces of equipment. So... 5-piece Voltron deck. I don't know, man.
Yeah. So
have you seen Voltron? Voltron has 5 pieces, yes, but you need more. You need more than that if you're trying to build a Voltron type deck. So it didn't do that very good. And then the other part with Cultist of the Absolute is that at the beginning of your upkeep, you have to sacrifice a creature. So you need to, you know, build in some aristocrats to it, which is fine too, but you don't have that many token generators here. Like, you only have 19 creatures, so you do not want to sack any of them. So you have to rely on sacking tokens, and man, you just don't really have any good token generators in the deck.
I would disagree there.
You have some good ones.
I think
you have like Awakening Zone.
Deck.
Like, what? Let's hear it.
The downfall for 100%. The Voltron aspect of this really does come up short. I don't think I ever had the issue of sacrificing. I think the sacrificing was always something I could... Because, I mean, you get Jadar, Ghoulcaller, and Nephalia on the field. It's a 1-1. No one really cares about a 1-1. And he's always making the zombie to be sacked to it. So, Creekwood Liege, you make a black-green worm, Harasta... Scoot Swarm.
Arasta, I'm not counting, because that's only when someone casts an instant or a sorcery.
That's right.
If you only have Arasta, your commander, on the board, and it goes around and no one plays an instant or a sorcery that time around the table, then you have to get rid of Arasta or your commander at the next upkeep.
These are facts.
And as you've seen last night with your Mystic Remora, people tend to be a little dickish when it comes to, you know, paying stuff.
I had people hold out on cultivates and ramping because I had a Mystic Remora on the field last night, and I was like,
I held on.
Well,
I had that arcane signet in my hand, I think, for two turns around the table. I think it went twice around the table, and you didn't get a single card.
I got
until
one
Mike.
Card because Mike was
two times
nice
around
to me.
You got one card.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if you only had that Arasta out there, I would not be casting instants or sorceries.
Yeah,
so you have some stuff here, but it was just we said it last brew review. When you try to do too many things, you end up not doing anything well. And this is a perfect example of that, because you have two very good things that you're trying to do, and they just don't work. You can't do Voltron and Aristocrats. At very least, you can't do it with this commander and this background, I think, in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Or you can, but there's much better options.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've played this deck, I think, a total of 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And my most successful time was Command Fest Orlando. And Wilson sat there and just helped me do Aristocrat things. I never swung him. I got more benefit out of another creature in the deck, Namada, Primeval Warden. That was really the only card that was really helping me.
Okay.
Yeah, I brewed this 5 months ago. So This was back in like February. Cocaine Bear came out in theaters February 24th. So
okay,
literally, I saw this movie and put a plan into action.
Yeah.
It
actually looks like it's the first deck you built on your Mox field.
I think because a lot of the decks I've moved to a retired folder. I will say, people have made this deck work. I don't think I built this deck properly. Because if you look at Wilson on EDH Rec, the number one pairing is Raised by Giants for a mono-green Big Bear Voltron. And the second is Cultist of the Absolute, followed by Flaming Fist, which is whenever creature attacks, it gains double strike. Selesnya probably has a lot of good stuff going on for it.
So even if you go on EDH Rec, though, and pick Wilson and pick Cultist of the Absolute, and then you pull down like the little theme tab there, it's Voltron. Didn't it say there's only, what, like 4 Voltron decks there?
23 right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just because someone else has built it doesn't mean it's good. I've built decks. Doesn't mean they're good. But I know what you're trying to do with this deck. But it just wasn't working. But we'll get more into that in a little bit. Because, like, what makes you enjoy the deck? So you built it. I know why you built it. We know when you built it. So, like, what makes you enjoy the deck? Or what did you think you were going to enjoy the deck?
So when I built it, the first couple times I goldfished it, like, I got Wilson. Like, I got Blackblade Forged on it. I got Fire Shrieker. It was a 5/5. I was like, it's got flying, it's got trample, I'm hitting for like 10. Now the issue is, like, when you're goldfishing, you don't have like people countering stuff, interaction, things like that happening to you. And like, I had this like combo in my head where like I was going to play Yavimaya, Cradle of Growth, and make all my stuff forests. And then I was going to play, like, Nissa, Ascended Animus. And I was going to have these token generators on the field. And then everything was going to get +1/+1 for all my forests. And I was going to have, like, 20 forests on the field for some reason. Which, like, never happened. Never came close to happening. I had an idea of that, like, you know, Yavimaya's out. Staff of Titania is giving Wilson like +X/+X, and then I'm getting a token to sack on the next turn, things like that. Things that never happen. But when I was goldfishing them, it did happen. And so, like, when I goldfished this for like a couple days, and I was like, I think I really like this deck. And this was back when I was buying decks a lot.
Last week? 2 weeks ago?
Hey.
I'm allowed to say that because the commander of this deck has changed 5 times in the past, you know, 2 weeks we've been talking about it.
We're reviewing to try to figure out what I should do. Let's work together to figure that out, lads.
Well, and that's what we can do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what are the weaknesses? So I know there's 2 separate things you're trying to do. You're trying to do Voltron. You're trying to do Aristocrats. What was the weakness? When did it start kind of falling apart, or when, like, what happens in a game where it starts not going your way?
I think it was I think the aristocrats part was fine, because like in that game in Orlando, like, I literally almost won the game off of a Meat Hook Massacre and having like 20 Sapperlings on the field.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that playstyle. It was fun. It's just like I built the deck with the idea that like that like Voltron would be kind of first, and then the Aristocrat would just be like a bonus. Like okay. Having a Zolaport Cutthroat or a Blood Artist on the field, sacking my token, pinging people for two, and then swinging a flying bear with trample at people. And
both parts can work. It's just not together.
Yeah, I think like I think honestly, if you take Wilson and all the Voltron stuff out and put in another commander, I think this deck works great. Mm-hmm. And then you just take Wilson and make him mono green with Raised by Giants, things like that. And like maybe that's an idea, but like I don't know. I wanted it, but like in my head, I wanted to just be able to do both. And as we've said many times across both our podcasts, when you're doing too many things, you do bad at both.
Mm-hmm.
Got to focus in. So.
Okay. Well, I agree. Because you originally, we had a little peek behind the curtain here. You said, hey, let's do a brew review for Cocaine Bear. Absolutely. Great idea.
Yeah.
And you said, here's a new commander and a new deck I already built. It's going to be that. I was like, all right. So I clicked on the new commander. The only similarity are the colors, because most of the creatures are different. The artifacts are different. It's literally, I think you even said, well, I bought the lands. I need to use the land. So you basically, your brew review is going to be, I need a new Golgari deck. So, but I think we can do better, because you want to switch this to Tyvar, the Bellicose.
Yeah, that was... So, like, I've been wanting an elf deck for a long time. Tyvar came out. I was like, I really like that card. It's got some cool stuff. And so, like, when we were first talking about this review, I was like, yeah, let's do this. Like, this sounds cool.
But then, after looking at it, I'm like, so you turned your Aristocrats Bear Voltron deck, and you're turning it into just a regular-ass Golgari elf deck. Like, this isn't a brew review. You've made a new deck, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing that hasn't changed is the lands. So that is a cool commander, and that's, you know, something that we can definitely talk about if you decide to build that deck, or, you know, we do it for an episode. But I think that's a completely separate deck. That's not what you were trying to do. That's neither Voltron nor Aristocrats. So I think we push that one to the side. I think that's not a good replacement for this deck, or at the very least, the play style that you're hoping to obtain with this deck.
Yeah, that's fair.
So my suggestion was Grismold, the Dreadsower, which I don't think you wanted to do, because I have a Grismold, the Dreadsower deck, but it's literally what you're trying to do, because... you know, it's at the beginning of your end step, each player creates a green plant creature token. Whenever a creature token dies, put a 1/1 counter on Grismold, the Dreadsower. So it's literally Golgari Commander that you are making lots of tokens, sacking lots of tokens, and every time those tokens get, you know, die or get sacked, your commander gets bigger, and now you have a big trampley commander that is enormous. So it's very similar, I think, to what you wanted to do, just without the bears.
Yeah, it really is. I just kicked my computer. It is, and like, I think when you first said that, I was like, son of a bitch, he's got me. He's right. Grismold is literally what I wanted from this deck, but I don't want to copy people's commanders anymore.
But it's an Aristocrat Golgari deck. Yeah. You know, you get to make your tokens, you get to sack your tokens, you still get to do all your fun, you know, Meat Hook Massacre stuff, or, you know, your Zulaport stuff. You get to Skull Clamp to kind of go through your tokens and to make some big ass commanders to swing around.
Yeah.
So I thought that'd be good, but I very much so understand the not wanting to copy someone else's commander. Copy someone in your pod's commander. So that's slightly understandable, but
yeah, and when you play Grismold,
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, you do do some of the aristocrat stuff. But, like, you don't lean into it as heavy, I think. You still kind of just try to make him as big as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, I do think that kind of rides the line of what I originally wanted, was just a giant... Because, you know, lately I've been trying to do, like, more go wide or Spellslinger, just trying different avenues of stuff. Because I want to, mm-hmm. like, just have different play styles. I don't want to always be the big creature guy. So, yeah.
I understand. I don't lean into aristocrats all that much, just because, I don't know, in my mind it's like, all right, I can either build this deck to keep on pinging people for one life. So it's like, all right, everyone starts with 40 health, so that's a lot of pinging I'm going to have to do. Or I can just do this instead and make my creature, you know, 5 power toughness larger every single time around the table, or 10, you know, larger. So I kind of did what you were trying to do with this, is kind of a Voltron type commander. It's not even Voltron, you know. What do I have? Dark Steel Plate in here, and then just boots and
things. You just get naturally big. Yeah, like you don't lean into the equipment or the auras or anything like that.
No, I got a little equipment and enchantments and stuff in here just to protect my commander from leaving. But for the most part, no, it's trying to get him out there and trying to get as many tokens to die so that he gets bigger. So I think that is one of the suggestions here for you. That's one I got for you.
Yeah.
But I know you mentioned
talked about maybe
what
after that Command Fest Orlando experience, maybe Namada Primeval Warden would be an idea, just because I had literally like 20 sapperlings on the field, and like it was really cool to just be like, I'm going to sack them all and you're just going to take 20 damage out of nowhere.
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that. Nabada, it's the 6 cost, 4/5. You can pay 3 mana to put a 1/1 green sapperling creature token into play, whatever. And then you can sack a sapperling. All sapperlings get +1/+1 till end of turn. Which is, I love that it's a free sack outlet on your commander. So helpful.
That is the old Namada. I was referring to Namada Primeval Warden, which is
I'm looking at the wrong one here.
2 colorless black green has reach. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. When you do, create a 1/1 green sapperling creature token. So a little bit of like graveyard hate. Pay a green, sack a sapperling. Namada gets +2/+2, or 1 and a black, sacrifice 2 sapperlings, draw a card.
Okay. Still good too.
Still good too. Oh, Namada, the original Namada Goldari. And this, I like them both. So I mean, one just gives you. Does the original Namada give you Golgari? You said black.
No,
right?
It doesn't.
Okay, so I'm on the green. So
yeah, that was the problem with it.
I think we're towards the newer one.
Okay.
Also pretty decent. 4 cost, 3/4, has reach. Can buff itself, really.
Yeah, that ain't bad at all. Yeah. So why don't you... So what are your thoughts on that, though? If you think you'd want to go towards that? Because the thing is, the deck that you had made went 2 separate routes. So yeah, do you want Voltron or do you want aristocrats, or do you want to try to combine them somehow, you know, try to do something, you know,
I think
Grismold-esque.
Yeah, I think Namada can be Grismold-esque, because I mean, if you make a bunch of sapperlings and then swing with this guy and no one's blocking, out of nowhere he can become a really big creature, because +2/+2 per sapperling, you get a little bit more like sapperling creators like Slimefoot, or just a couple like just instants that make 2 out of nowhere. Things like that.
So why not Slimefoot as well, though? You see that new artwork?
They did. They were just texting a few minutes ago about, like, well, also, like, that new Slimefoot art's pretty fucking cool.
It's really cool.
I think
I like me some Slimefoot.
To answer the question of where I'd want to take this deck, I think aristocrats is the way I want to go.
Okay.
I think I'm kind of leaning away from Voltron. I kind of realize it has a lot of issues, mainly the fact that you can kill one person, and then everyone else is going to kill you.
That's why I don't like to play Voltron, if I can, you know.
Yeah.
If I can help it. Because, as soon as you get big enough to kill one person, then it's all over. So do it with the life gain deck. Once you get the 50 life and you kill someone with Aether Flux, then you're the target. It's like, no, I only got 10 health. I'm not the target anymore. It's like, nope, you're still the target. You killed someone.
Because, like, I feel like there's two spectrums of Voltron. There's either kill somebody and then die the following turn, or get so big and so broken, like SRAM, and you just rule the table and it's not fun for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want either of those. So I feel like Aristocrats is where I want to go.
Okay. Well, so there is Slimefoot, Stowaway. Well, let's go through this then. All right, so I'm closing windows here. We're doing this real time. You know, we're this is what Brew Review is. You know, it's kind of, we're talking about a deck we had that underperformed some way. You know, what was last month we talked about Edgar Markov, which, you know, pretty much it was still a good deck, still a strong deck, just needed a little punching up.
Yeah.
This one, you know, I still enjoyed playing it too. It was just, it needed an upgrade. And that's what we discussed. But, you know, this month, this is something you built and you just didn't get out of it what you wanted to. So you want to keep the colors and decide what path to go. So I'm closing that. And I'm so closing Tyvar. I'm closing Tyvar too.
We're closing Tyvar. I think Tyvar.
Tyvar is closed. As Tyvar an elf deck.
One day far off in the future when I want an elf deck.
That's a Brew with a Screw It deck.
Yeah. Yeah, because like when I propose, hey, let's talk about Cocaine Bear. The main thing I really want to talk about is like, as someone who's only been playing for a few months, like, you can fall into these pit traps of like, oh man, this deck sounds really cool. I literally like the idea of it, but then I made it, and oh my god, is this not working? And so like, I don't want people to think, oh, I made a deck, it's terrible, I can't do anything with it. Like, you can pivot. Like, you can, like, that's what we're trying to do here is, hey, okay, the Voltron aspect of this sucks, but the Aristocrats did really good. Maybe I just go full Aristocrats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
And that's how you find out. Like, that's, I remember when I first started playing Magic, and, you know, I went to the shop and I was told the guy, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to start playing Commander. You know, he's like, all right, you know, well, do you want this style, this style, this style, this style? I'm like, I don't know what any of that is. And that's kind of why I settled on Tribal, because it made the most sense to me instead of like, oh, no, there's Aristocrats where you can sacrifice stuff to hurt other people. But then there's also, you know, this type of, and I'm like, I don't know if I would like that. And when you're spending money to build the deck, you would like to know if you like that play style before you spend the money and realize, you know, that's a mistake I made. I built Thran Physician, the Yawgmoth deck.
Oh, yeah.
And I played it and I spent the money, all that. And then I played it and I was like, I don't think I like this play style. I don't like giving everyone these -1/-1 counters. I don't like, what is it? Whip of Erebos? Is that the card? I might be thinking of, but
makes people sad.
Like, makes people
Dictate of
Erebos. What I'm thinking.
Dictate of
Erebos. You know, making people sacrifice stuff on upkeep. I don't like doing that. I don't like, you know, looking like the dick at the table or being the guy that, you know, immediately goes onto the radar, even though their board's not scary, but just the board's annoying. So I try to avoid that. But unfortunately, I didn't know I didn't like that play style until I had done it. So, all right. So we're not going Voltron. We're going Aristocrats. You think you like? You got a little taste of the Aristocrat. You want to? You want to do it? Light. So
tasted good. Tasted like.
All right.
Pinging, for one.
Well, then I'm closing Grismold too then, because Grismold is not a full Aristocrats deck. It's a Voltron-esque type deck. It's a big commander that just gets bigger, and I'm not relying on pings. I'm not relying on. Yeah, I know I do have Zulaport in there, but now looking over my deck list again, I'm like, shit, I got to take Zulaport out. I got to take, you know, I don't know why. Why is that even in there?
Yeah.
Another creature you control dies. Each opponent loses a life. Again, I don't care about.
it's a nice synergy. You're making people sack stuff, so might as well get something out of it.
It's another creature you control dies, though. So whenever my token dies, everyone loses a life and I gain a life. I don't need
There's
one
some
life.
There, I think.
I'm sure there's a better card that can go in there. But I'm closing it. All right, so we got Nemada Primeval Warden. So if a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. Like it. People are going to hate that. When you do, create a Sapperling creature token, and then you could sack it. So this is good. I like Nemada. I like Nemada Primeval.
Good card. It put in a lot. It was fucking house. It put in work.
Yeah. So now that as opposed to Slimefoot. Slimefoot, whenever a Sapperling you control dies, Slimefoot the Stowaway deals one damage to each opponent and you gain one life. And then you can pay four mana to make a Sapperling. So how about that? Because that's kind of the more Aristocrats heavy commander, I would say, of the two.
Yeah, and I like it's three mana. It gives you the option to make a Sapperling. There are a couple. I don't know if there's in green and black. I don't know if there's a cost reducer. Remember, there's a couple cards that do that, but I can't remember what they are off the top of my head. I know one's like a companion that's like red and white, so that definitely wouldn't work.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not positive off the top of my head.
And there's a lot, and I feel like a long time ago we talked about like, oh, what if I just made a Sapperling themed deck where like I get all the cards that make Sapperlings, get the funguses in there that make Sapperlings. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And like Slimefoot is cool. Like look at that guy. He's just vibing. He's hanging out.
He's just vibing. No, I agree. I think Slimefoot is cool. I hate to throw a little wrench into the works here, but while I was poking around trying to find something, I came across partner commanders. I hate playing partner commanders. Love building partner commanders because I love the deck,
so I'm interested. What you got?
All right, what do I got? So the main partner is Tana the Bloodsower, two colorless, a red and a green for a 2/2 elf druid, trample. Whenever Tana the Bloodsower deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 green Sapperling creature tokens. So the bigger it is, the more Sapperling tokens you're going to create. So kind of it's fitting back into your original plan of maybe doing a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
And then the partner that I had for it was Nadir, Agent of the Dusk Kennel? What is that?
Did I say Dusk Now? Maybe the E is silent.
Dusk Now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whenever it's a 6-cost 3/3, so it is a little pricey. Whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on Nadir. When Nadir leaves the battlefield, create a number of 1/1 green elf warrior creature tokens equal to its power. So you kind of have a little bit of the elves that you wanted from Tyvar that you're looking at, and it's just something to think about too. There's other partners that you can kind of do as well, but I thought this was kind of fun. That second part, don't really worry about too much. But whenever a token you control leaves the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on this, so you kind of get an opportunity to have two large Voltron commanders.
Yeah.
You know, you have two commanders making tokens, two commanders getting larger whenever those tokens die. It kind of, just something else to think about too. There's a lot of options there, but I don't know. After looking at this and then looking at the Slimefoot, I think Slimefoot's more fun. I think Slimefoot would be more fun.
I like this kind of the idea.
Goes back into your elves deck a little bit more.
Yeah, I do like the idea of the partner commanders, because I have been trying to build more three color. But I think I like the Slimefoot or the Nemada play.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at. But I do like the suggestion of it. I also just kind of fear I might run into the same thing of doing too much of too many things with the Sapperlings and the Elves and the make them big.
Yeah, I honestly the only reason I was really looking at this partner pairing is just because I know that there's a lot of fun Aristocrats stuff to do in red.
All and all that, yeah.
You know, so like Goblin Bombardment, you basically sack a creature, it deals one damage to any target. That's fun. You can have Impact Tremors in there whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control. It deals one damage to each opponent. You have Mayhem Devil. Whenever a player sacks a permanent, it deals one damage to any target. So this was kind of just more for the access to Red, access to two commanders to get larger, and, you know,
yeah,
you get to make all the tokens. You know, you're making tokens from both commanders. But, yeah, it's that was just one of the many options out there. Or just build the Korvold.
Yeah, just for the Korvold aristocrats.
Just whenever you sack something, get a 1/1 counter and draw a card. God, I love Korvold. Korvold's so good.
Once again, nice. One of your commanders. Don't want to steal it.
I got to break that down because that's a generic commander. I could do more. So I'm looking at some other Red Aristocrats decks here, but I don't know. I'd say that's definitely something to kick around.
Yeah.
You know, this is how the planning process starts of break down a deck and then you're trying to figure out the commander. So this... It's kind of a weird episode we're doing here, but who knows? Maybe people will like it. Maybe they'll hate it. But this is literally the planning process, and this is what you and I usually do over text or, you know, before Magic matches we play when we're just in Discord, and it's you know, pulling up screens of commanders and like, all right, well, I kind of wanted to do a little bit more of this. Like, all right, well, let's push it more towards this commander then. So This is how the show started. This was just
pretty much, yeah.
Us doing this and be like, we should.
We're pulling back the curtain a little bit.
Yeah. I like Slimefoot. I really do because it's. I've played. What deck was it? I'm trying to think because my Lord Wingrace deck. I know when I first bought that, I think I gave it to my cousin to play. And he basically took the whole deck and then he just was playing Slimefoot instead. Like, he just ended up making it into a Sapperling deck. He just kept making Sapperlings, sacrificing them and drawing cards. And it was just, it was really humming. It was doing a great job. But I think that kind of does what you want to do. It's the Aristocrats token generator.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it, yeah. I mean, it's a way to ping people on my commander. It's very low cost. When I don't have anything to play, I can sink 4 mana to make a token, which can then die as a blocker, things like that. Just pulled up EDH Rec and looking, like, there's a ton of Sapperling support.
There's a lot of Sapperling support, which helps. Let's look at some new cards.
You know, I was just looking. Cards. I saw this card the other day from the new Lord of the Rings set. It's Rise of the Witch Queen. It's a Destiny thing. Witch King. It's each player sacrifice creature. If you sacrifice a creature this way, you may return another permanent card from your graveyard to the battlefield for 4 mana. Pretty strong.
That is good. Oh, look at that. The top high synergy card for Slimefoot is Namada Primeval Warden.
Yeah.
Look at that. You kind of get that right in there. I think I'm going
Slimefoot.
You think you're going Slimefoot?
I think Namada is a good... I think Namada goes in that deck and, like, does wonders. But I think Slimefoot is what I want from an Aristocrat deck. It's the pinging and the way to make it all in one.
It's plus that new pinging.
Art. That new art is so good.
That new art is sick, but this kind of gets... You get your Zulaport Cutthroat. What else is in here? Is it Blood Artist is in here? I was gonna say. So it's
Mirkwood Bat thing that like pings for 1/1 a token's made or killed.
Whenever you create a sacrifice a token, each opponent loses 1 life. I think this is the direction you go. I mean, yeah. And the only thing I wish I had was like a free sac outlet on the commander. That's what's nice about the original Namada. At least the Namada Primeval Warden has the, you know, the pay two, the sack two Sapperlings to draw a card. But I wish I had a free sack outlet, but there's a lot of ways to sack stuff.
And I think if you go the Sapperling route, if I end up, you know, I don't like Slimefoot, I can easily just swap to Namada, or I can, you know, change the commander on the fly. Because, I mean, they're both about sacking Sapperlings, so
yeah,
they can be changed pretty interchangeably. But I think...
You could... honestly put Grismold in as the commander too if you wanted to. I tried to do it for life gain because I have an Abzan life gain deck, and I was like, I really want to have one deck and then like an assortment of commanders that all can pilot that deck. So it's kind of like, all right, I'm playing Abzan Life Gain today. You know, well, who's your commander? I don't know. Let's roll a D4 and see who it's going to be today. Yeah. It's like, oh, all right, it's Partners, or it's Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins, the new one?
Yeah, Bilbo's the new one, yeah.
Yeah, the new Abzan Gain 100 life or 110 life or whatever it is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think that's a, man, that's something you could do with this, where you have Slimefoot, Namada, and Grismold all up in there. I'm looking now to see if you can make Slimefoot a Voltron.
I'm sure you
just
could.
Just peeking. Just for fun. Just funsies, seeing what's
plus
on
one,
here.
Plus but... one for every Sapperling on the field, things like that.
Yeah. Well, you Code of Arms. Each creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature on the battlefield that shares at least one creature type with it.
There we go.
But I don't think Slimefoot is a Sapperling, though.
I think it's a fungus, so I'd have to get a bunch of funguses.
You have to get a lot of fungi, which there are a lot of fungi, or your Sapperling tokens are just going to be 2020s.
This sounds like it's going to be a pretty fun guy deck. Hey, yo.
Would you say when I made a bad pun the other day? I hate it here.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I hate it here.
I think that's the way to go, Cody. That's what I think I would do. Oh, look at that. You throw Parallel Lives and Doubling Season in there. Dictate of Erebos. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature. Such a cool card. Such a cool ability. But, man, I felt bad playing it. Because I know I played it a couple times. And I felt bad each time. But the last time I think I actually played this card in a deck, I forget who it was, but they were getting so mana screwed, and
oh man, yeah,
and they just, you know, were only able to, like, all right, you know, finally tap everything and get my commander out there, and then, you know, when my tokens died, I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, he goes back to the command zone, or someone taps out for one creature and they're like, oh, I hope this, you know, draws me some cards. Like, I'm sorry, no, you have to sack it. It's go flash in Dictate of Erebos real quick. So, you can put it in there. I won't like it. But I think I've mentioned it before. The only reason I built Grismold was, I've said this on podcast, you know, on the podcast before, is if there's a card that I really like, I will just look for the best synergy for that card. And for this, it was the Meat Hook Massacre. When that card was first spoiled, and I was just like, that is such a cool effect. When it enters the battlefield, each creature gets -X/-X. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses a life. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you gain one life. So it's pretty much just Zulaport mixed with, you know, Blood Artist and all that. Kind of just, you put it out there, and you wipe the board. You know, you just make sure it's one less than what your commander is.
I mean, literally, I was playing against a Locust God deck, and who's the first episode I did a Brewer Screwed episode on, the the Esper Dungeon Reanimator deck.
You enter a dungeon.
It was like a pot of three.
The Necromancer's layer.
And I had Namada on the field, and the guy like killed all the 1/1 locusts that the Locust Gods were making, and I made like those 20 Sapperlings, and like I played Meat Hook Massacre, and I was gonna kill all my tokens, and if it didn't get counterspelled, like I was gonna win the game by like hitting everyone for 20 and gaining 20. It was gonna be insane. So yeah, it's a game ender for Aristocrats for sure.
Only made a deal with someone at the table who had like a Vexing Shusher and could have prevented that counterspell.
I guess the thing I like about this whole Sapperling is like these are like just some really fucking crazy cards that you don't see a lot. Like Spore Crown Thalid or Psychotrope Thalid. Like, you don't see these cards every day. So like, I like that. I want to bring new stuff to the table. You know, I don't want to bring the same old.
I like it because then you get to use, I'd say, is probably top three favorite Planeswalker of mine. I don't really use Planeswalkers that much. I feel like it's just too much to get them out there and then get their abilities. But I remember when I first started playing was during like the Ravnica sets. And so Vraska, Golgari Queen, love that Planeswalker. Yeah. You +2, sack another permanent. If you do, gain a life, draw a card. Nice. You can -3, destroy target non-land permanent with CMC 3 or less. Also great because you can get rid of some stuff there. But the creme de la creme there is her -9. You get an emblem with whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, that player loses the game. Which is just...
That's very good, man, yeah.
When you have 20 sapperlings, you know, like, man. All right, I'm just going to swing 21 ones at you. It's like you can't block them all. And if one of them gets through, you lose the game. So I always thought that was just such a fun.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to get to. You know, she comes out as a 4, and then she only has a +2. So it's literally 3 turns of getting her out. It's, you'd have to build around that just a little bit more if you wanted to use it, but. It gives you a good excuse to use that, because if you're going so wide like that and you get that emblem, that's just block as much as you want. Doesn't matter how big or small my commander is. If one of these little guys gets in there, you're done.
Yeah.
So I just think, I think you'll have a lot of flexibility if you go with this. There just seems to be so much support for what you want to do with it. So I think that's it. I think that's Sapperling Aristocrats deck with Slimefoot. I think that's a very fun deck.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. If we can just take a moment of silence for Cocaine Bear 2. We hardly knew it. It didn't do well. And it's being sacrificed for the greater good.
It's being sacrificed for the greater good. I'm looking now to see how much crossover there is between that deck, because I know your biggest concern was trying to reuse some of your higher priced cards.
Decent bit will transition over. I mean, the ramp's gonna stay, the lands are pretty much, I'm gonna take out a few lands and replace with like free sack, we're not free sack, but like sacrifice lands. All the auras that make stuff will go away, but like I think a decent chunk will stay.
I'm looking right now.
My removal.
Look at that. You got Slimefoot in there already.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that Slimefoot was already in the deck. I had forgotten about that. So.
Oh, I think I just added it to look at it so I could look at it while we were talking about it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, 101 cards in this deck. I'm like, all right.
Namada.
But you get to keep your Blood Artist, you know, all that stuff. But yeah. I think that's the move to make, Cody. I'm putting it down right now. And then you can still keep some of the equipment stuff that you had. Like, I don't think you need the Hammer of Nizan and the Dark Steel Plate.
So, those Fire came out, Shrieker. Like, immediately it went to my Voltron deck.
Yeah. But, like, Staff of Titania, maybe I'd keep that in there.
I think that's just a good generic, like, make your guy big. I'm going to keep the Yavimaya Critical Growth. Maybe that combo one day works. I don't know.
To just make everything
a forest.
Way too big.
Yeah. I will take out the Nissa Ascended Animist and put in the Vraska for sure.
Yeah, I felt bad too because I was looking at this your Tyvar deck that you had sent over. I'm like, I feel like I have to take out those Planeswalkers. It was this Tyvar Tribal.
Hey, that was the whole point. It's Tyvar
Tribe. Tyvarble.
Ooh.
That's what you can name the deck. I don't
know. Suddenly you're selling me on Tyvar again.
I think the only Planeswalker you can make a tribal deck out of is Chandra, because she had like 6,000
printings. I think Gideon has like a creature. Gideon, Liliana.
There was that one set where there was like 6 Chandras, wasn't there? Recently.
A new one just got revealed in the Planeswalker deck.
Of course.
And people were like,
That's my brother screwed. I'm doing Chandra Super Friends. Just Chandra with Chandra Planeswalkers.
There's that Liliana Heretic Healer that people do like all the Liliana cards in. And then there's the one, it's the creature that turns into Gideon. People run that as a Gideon themed deck and things like that. Any of those flip planeswalkers, I think people try to make into a theme.
I think I'm going to build a Chandra Super Friends deck.
Do it.
Just mono red Burn Chandra.
The ground.
Just only Chandra planeswalkers. I think I could get away with that. But no, I think you're much better off here. I'm going through your Cocaine Bear deck list again too, and there is a lot
terrible picks.
No, there's a lot of stuff that I think you could be able to keep. You know, Dreadhorde Invasion. You already had the Mihawk Massacre in there. Awakening Zone. You're going to want to keep, where you know your upkeeps. You're creating just random tokens to, you know, be able to get rid of those. You can even keep like some of this equipment, like Bear Umbra. You have Bear Umbra in there. That's fine to keep in there too, because you're going to want to protect your commander. Because, you know, why not? So, no, I think that's the route to go. And I think we just made your deck a lot more what you wanted it to be, and a lot more fun to play.
Yeah, I agree on it. I think this is what is needed, because like this deck has literally been sitting in a boulder, just not being used, and feels bad because when you spend, I mean, I have a proxy of Mihawk Massacre, so take out $50. This is a $250 deck that has sat here and not done anything, and it kind of sucks. So I like the idea of taking it and pivoting it, going all in on Slimefoot.
You might be able to, honestly, like, you might be able to just put, I don't know, like $30 to $50 into this deck.
I think so, yeah. I mean, a lot of these, a lot of these creatures are 30 cents. So, yeah, I think I'm going to be able to really...
The Sapperling meta is not as popular as you would think. So
not a lot of skin in the Sapperling game, apparently. I'm excited. It's going to be cool.
All right, very cool.
All right.
Pitiless Plunderer. Did you have that in there?
I did not. That's a very expensive card. But hey.
It's $11.
Might be able to swing it in there.
For an uncommon.
Yeah. I think it was a good episode, Les. Yeah, that was we reviewed the brew, as they say.
We reviewed the brew, and I think we made it better.
I think so, too. I'm really, really happy with how this checked out. Because prior to us recording, I was like, Les is going to tear me a new one. Like, Les is going to kick my ass in this podcast.
It was just, I was very confused what we were going to do. We pivoted like 5 times of what we were going to do, because you're like, hey, we're doing brew review of Cocaine Bear. It's going to be this deck instead. And you sent me an Elf Ball deck. I'm like, this isn't even a little close. I'm like, you're like, yeah, well, we're just going to talk about what I wanted to do and why this is better. I'm like, well, it's better because it's completely opposite of what you wanted.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Aristocrats or Voltron. So you made an Elf Tribal deck. You know, that's... I'm like, that's a different episode for a different show. So, no, I think it definitely came away with this with a much better deck. But like you said, it feels bad when you have something that's just sitting in a case somewhere. That's how I feel about my Feldegriff deck, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
Whenever I pull that out, I just feel like it doesn't get the mileage I was hoping to get. So, I want to turn that into, what was that? It doesn't matter. But I have some plans
Glunch.
For that.
You're going to go Glunch? Selesnya? Group Hug?
I was going to do some Group Hug, actually, yeah. Uh-huh. The two guys on the card, I think it was a pre-con. I think it was like a Commander 14 or 15 pre-con.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's like a four-color.
Yeah, the two guys. The roommates.
Hey. Just kidding. Gay Pride. Woohoo!
Those two confirmed bachelors.
Yes, two confirmed bachelors. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it.
I think that's going to do it as well.
So we'll have the link to Cocaine Bear if you would like to look at it and talk to me about how terrible it is as well. And if you want to tell me how bad it is, you can reach out to us on Twitter at BrewItOrScrewIt. We are on Instagram now at BrewItOrScrewItMTG. Or you can reach out to us on email. It's BrewItOrScrewIt@gmail.com. So just let us know what you thought. Do you like Slimefoot? Yeah. Do you have a Slimefoot deck? Send me a link. I want to check it out.
That would definitely help. Or if you have another, you know, another Golgari Aristocrats type deck that you have that you swear by all means, let us know. Leave it in the comments or email, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. But, yeah, absolutely. And make sure you follow those, you know, Instagrams out too. We post pictures or random cards and
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Press all the buttons.
Fun stuff. Press all the buttons. Like, subscribe, comment, review. Steal someone else's phone on the street and log into their Apple iTunes and leave a good review as well.
But also, seriously, thank you guys so much. I think as the time of recording this, we have passed 600 plays across all our podcasts. And when we started,
only 500
this,
of them are me, so that's good too.
When we started this back in February, I don't think we ever really thought we would get here, so it's really cool.
I was hoping to have 100 listens within 6 months. That was like my internal goal. Was like, all right, if we get like 100 plays, you know, by the half year mark, I'd be happy. So the fact that, you know, it looks like we might get close to 1,000 views by the end of the year is absolutely mind blowing. So hopefully this isn't the episode that makes people unsubscribe and stop listening.
They're like, oh, Cocaine Bear rules. What are you talking about?
Cocaine Bear rules. And all they did was just talk the whole time about cards that are better than what they have. But no, thank you guys for listening so much. Thanks for checking us out. And like I said, if you have any suggestions, comments, questions, let us know. And we are both more than happy to field any questions or responses. Take any criticism. People usually shit on my decks. Let's let people shit on Cody's deck this time. That'd be great for me.
Tell me how terrible a deck builder I am.
He can take it.
All right.
All right, guys.
Well, until next time, should we say brew it?
Or review it?
I think that's what you said last time, right?
I think that's what I said last time. I'm probably just as confused as I was last time. Brew the review. All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.